This is Global Air Force.
So in my first year out of medical school, the Lord arranged for me to go for training in a hospital that was very close to one of the largest centers of Satanism in America. And it was a town made up of people who directly worshiped and served a god whom they called Satan. Mm. And they were involved in various levels of witchcraft. And I'm talking about people who were so deeply involved in serving Satan that they actually participated in human sacrifice in addition to animal sacrifice.
Praise God, we have an opportunity to visit with Dr. Rebecca Brown, the author of He Came to Set the Captives Free, and many other books that follow this book that tell the story of Rebecca's travel through a world of darkness with an overcoming light. In this series, you'll hear her talk about...
I ended up in a battle. It turned out that many of the people working at the hospital, doctors, nurses, everything else, were a part of this cult. And it was at that point that I ended up having to come to a realization that the spirit realm was real and that demon spirits existed. And I began to realize that they were having a tremendous effect on my patients and there in the hospital. I have been in this work of bringing people out of witchcraft, hardcore Satanism, every form of bondage imaginable to Jesus Christ now for over 31 years. So I am not inexperienced in this area.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today I have a beautiful guest, a guest that I fell in love with years ago. She helped me just through reading her books. It's Dr. Rebecca Brown, and you may have heard about her. She's wrote the first book, He Came to Set the Captive Free, and I was captive, and she came along with that book. Praise God for her. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Jim. I'm so glad to be on your program today.
It's a real blessing.
Let me just introduce myself a minute. I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I am a servant, nothing more and nothing less. I want to make it clear that I serve the Creator God, the one and only God who is the creator of everything that we see in the physical realm about us, this universe that we live in. I want to make it clear that this Creator God is greater than and separate from anything in the physical creation. He knew that mankind had participated in sin and in evil, and because He is completely without sin and totally just, a way had to be made so that we could be in a relationship with Him. And this wonderful God of ours decided to humble Himself and come down to earth and put on a physical human body and be born as a baby. And His name is Jesus Christ. He walked this earth as a real human being. He was both God and human at the same time. And He ended up suffering a terrible death, dying back in the days of the Roman Empire on a cross. And in that death, and in the shedding of His blood, He suffered and paid the price for every evil thing that every human being had done or ever would do in the future. And it is only through our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our God and accepting the price that He paid for our sins that we can be in a relationship with this incredible Creator God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven sometime after walking this earth for a number of days with His disciples and revealing Himself to more than 500 people. Jesus Christ is God, and that is who I serve. Now, I want to make it clear that in this universe in which we live, there is also a terrible force for evil. We call him, those of us that are serving Jesus Christ, call him Satan. And he has many underneath him that serve him, countless number. Now, God himself and Satan and all of their servants are what we call spirits. There is another realm of existence that we call the spirit realm, and there are created beings in that spirit realm, just the same as there are created beings in the physical realm. They have powers. They have intelligence. They have minds. They can think. They can feel. They have free wills, and they can make choices. All of these evil beings used to be in the service of God. They chose to rebel against God and turn to evil. And make no mistake about it, they hate human beings. And their whole goal is to destroy us. The problem is, they're invisible. We don't see them, hear them, touch them, feel them with our five physical senses, but they are real.
Wow.
I got to stop a minute.
No, wonderful. And I'm going to take the position of a man on the street who doesn't know anything, because I want to hear what you have to say. And I'm going to take the position in my comments of somebody that doesn't know anything about this, okay?
And that's who I want to address. These beings in the spirit realm, there are many who are in the service of this Creator God Almighty, and those of us who are servants of Jesus Christ and call ourselves Christians, we call those beings angels. Mm. They are without sin, which is what we call evil. And then the beings who are in the service of the evil leader, Satan, who was once a very high angel in God's service prior to his rebellion against God, those we call demon spirits. So from now on, you will hear me referring to angels and demons. Now, these demons attack you. They are a part of your everyday life. And my goal and Jim's goal is to make you aware of how they're attacking you so that you can have victory over them. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're out there listening today and you're having so many problems in your life that you just never have victory over and you can't understand why. Well, I think as you listen to these programs that you're going to come to an understanding of why you're having so many problems, and I am going to give you the keys and the answers so that you can have complete victory in your life. Jim, do you have questions?
We're looking to you to open this world up to Satan and demons and angels, and you're saying they affect our lives and they're everywhere. That's what you're saying.
Yes. And there's countless numbers of them.
Would you say everybody has some contact like that, where they're affected by demons?
Yes, every human being does. And once again, the problem is we don't see them. They're invisible, and therefore we don't realize that they're out there many times. And I want to talk to you about exactly how that they attack you and how you can have victory over them. That will be coming in this series.
That's real important. Now, I've experienced what I call demons, and I went to religious leaders and people who have written books on these matters, and actually they discredited what I was going through, but I knew what I was going through. I didn't know exactly how it worked. I didn't know exactly how the source worked, but when I opened your book, He Came to Set the Captive Free, I began to recognize this language and these thoughts that you said, and these just, you spoke with authority. I recognized right away, hey, this woman knows something about what I'm going through, and that's what I would tell anybody listening today. Listen a while. Don't shut her off. Don't shut me off. Listen a while and see if what Rebecca is saying does not sound familiar, does not sound like something you're going through or have gone through, or you wanted someone to explain, what am I going through?
Let's start out this way. It's amazing. You know, every religion in the whole world, I don't care what it is, knows that there is an unseen spirit realm. But the interesting thing is, there's only one book in the whole world that has a completely sensible and logical explanation for that unseen spirit realm, and that is the Christian Bible. Mm. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it is written, it says, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood." That means our battle is not against the physical realm. Okay, how does it happen? The number one way that demon spirits attack people is through thoughts and emotions. You see, every battle has a battlefield. Mm-hmm. In the United States, in its fight against terrorism, its initial battlefield was in the country of Afghanistan and then Iraq. Now, where does this spirit realm and the physical realm meet?
Where do they intersect?
Exactly. Where mm-hmm. do they interact? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 tell us, and that section from the Bible tells us once again that our battle is not in against the physical realm. It's not against what the Bible uses the word carnal many times, and that refers to the physical realm. It's not against flesh and blood. And then it goes on to say that our minds, that we must take every thought captive in our minds, and that the weapons of God, the Creator God, are powerful for pulling down strongholds and every thought that exalts itself against God.
So these would be thoughts that actually exalt themselves against God. How do they exalt themselves against God?
No, it means these are thoughts that lead us to do things that are wrong, that are
okay.
evil.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so therefore, the battlefield, the place where the spirit, unseen spirit realm and the physical realm meet is right up here in your head, in your physical brain. Mm. Perhaps we need to explain this. Every human being is made up of three parts. There's your physical body, then there's your soul, and there's your spirit. Now, your physical body, you all know. You look at it in the mirror when you look in the mirror, or your reflection in a window glass. That's your physical body. You can touch it. You know what it feels like. You see other people's physical bodies. Then there is your soul. Now, your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. It is your personality. It is your thoughts, your memories, and everything that makes you, you. Then there is a part of you that is spirit. Now, this is a created human spirit that is separate from the spirit realm, but it also can see into the spirit realm and interact with it because it is spirit. Mm. Okay, so there's those three parts. Now, the center of communication, so to speak, of those three parts of us is in our brain. When you see something in the physical realm, it's being channeled through your physical eyeball, but you don't see in your physical eyeball. That is transported through nerves back to the back part of your physical brain, and that's where the image is created that allows you to see what your physical eye sees. Just the same way, when somebody's spirit sees what's going on in the spirit realm, and this is certainly true for people involved in other religions than Christianity, particularly anything in terms of witchcraft and occultism and Asian religions in particular. They see what's going on in the spirit realm, and that image is in their physical brain. So your physical brain is the center of all communications, both from the physical realm and the spiritual realm. So that is how demon spirits can communicate with us. They have the ability from outside of you to inject into your physical brain thoughts and emotions, just the same that I, as a medical doctor, could put a shot of medicine into your arm with a needle and syringe.
I've heard people say, they say, well, how do I never hear from God. Well, He talks to our mind and through our mind, too. He uses what he created. It goes through that way. And you're saying that evil spirits, demons, they speak through our mind, too.
That's true. There's three sources of thoughts in our minds, okay? One is us. We're thinking all the time. We have what I call a thought life. You may be sitting out there right now listening to this radio program, and I hope you're thinking about what we're saying. But you could be thinking about something else entirely at the very same time. You could be thinking about problems at home, problems at work, or something else entirely. The second source of thought is from demon spirits. This is very common. And the third source comes from the Creator God, because that's how He communicates with us as well. Now, the problem is sorting out the difference between the three sources. I have a little book I've written called Learning How to Hear God's Voice, which is very important and tells you how to sort all of that out. And we'll be touching on some of that in our series as we go along.
Good. Learning How to Hear God's Voice.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to read that.
I'll send it to you.
Good. I'm begging. Okay, go on.
Okay. So maybe we should back up a minute, and let me tell you how I got involved in all of this, because this will begin to help people understand what we're talking about.
It's a strange world. It's strange, you know. We have all kinds of misinformation, and, I mean, you've worked in this area, and you know more maybe than most people. So let's have it. How did you ever get into this business?
Okay. I had the privilege of being raised in a wonderful home with very kind and loving parents who were solid Christians. They worshiped and served Jesus Christ. At the age of 4, I made the choice to ask Jesus Christ to become my Savior, because I became aware of the fact that I did things that were wrong and that I needed a Savior. But I never learned to have a personal relationship with God whereby He was speaking to me directly. I grew up surrounded by rules and regulations, and it wasn't until I was 26 years old that I left home for the first time and went to medical school to become a medical doctor that I pulled out of the church in which I was raised. And it was at that point that I became aware of the fact that I really did not have a relationship with God, and I began to seek. And it was then that God directed me to go to a campus church there on the university campus, where the pastor taught that God wanted a personal relationship with each one of us, and that He was willing to speak to each one of us directly and personally, just as He has done all through the pages of the Bible down through history to individual people. And that's what I wanted. But this pastor taught us that in order to enter into that relationship with God, that we really needed to sit down and understand that Jesus Christ was more than just a Savior. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and He will be that in our lives, and that means that He will be the master of every area of our life. So I entered into a covenant, a contract, if you will, with God at that point, giving Jesus Christ the total mastership over every area of my life. And it was then that I began to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord, whereby He would speak to me directly. Now, what do I mean by God speaking to me?
Yes, what is that?
God does not normally speak to us through an audible voice, because remember, Jesus said when He was here on earth, the hour is now when those who worship God must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Why? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, because God is spirit. So, God does not communicate to us normally in the physical realm. He speaks to our spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is God, speaks to our spirit, and then our spirit transfers that into our communication center, which is, remember what I told you, it is our physical brain. So it comes into our mind as a thought. And we have to learn to recognize those thoughts that are coming from God. And that's what that little book is that I wrote about, and I think we should do a whole session on that at
some
point. I agree.
Now, that's so important, and that's so confusing to so many people.
Yeah.
I've heard people stand up in church and say, I heard God 20 years ago, and that was it.
Yeah.
20 years ago,
yeah,
that's not
exactly
enough.
Exactly, but we serve a God who loves you so much that He wants a personal one-on-one relationship with you. And this Creator God of ours is infinite. He has absolutely no limits. And therefore, he is capable of having a personal relationship with every human being that's ever been created or ever will be. So, moving right along. After I entered into that personal relationship with the Lord, and I began to learn to get into communication with God, and I read and studied the Bible, and I learned the Bible really for myself for the first time in my life. After I graduated from medical school, I went for additional training because I chose to specialize in internal medicine and critical care. Now, mind you, prior to this time, I had been raised by my parents in a situation where I knew nothing about what was going on in the world. We had no radio, no television, of course, no computers back in those days. And I never saw a movie. I knew nothing about what was really going on in the real world. And I didn't know that there was such a thing as a witch. I had never heard of witchcraft. I had no real understanding of the existence of the spirit realm, except, of course, as I developed a relationship with God and read His Word, I knew about the spirit realm that far, and I believed in the existence of God's servants, the angels. But that was as far as it went. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything further. So in my first year out of medical school, the Lord arranged for me to go for training in a hospital that was very close to one of the largest centers of Satanism in America. And it was a town made up of people who directly worshiped and served a god whom they called Satan. Mm. And they were involved in various levels of witchcraft. And I'm talking about people who were so deeply involved in serving Satan that they actually participated in human sacrifice.
Oh my.
In addition to animal sacrifice.
Oh my.
I ended up in a battle. It turned out that many of the people working at the hospital, doctors, nurses, everything else, were a part of this cult. And it was at that point that I ended up having to come to a realization that the spirit realm was real and that demon spirits existed. And I began to realize that they were having a tremendous effect on my patients and there in the hospital. And at that point then, the people in Satanism chose to have me destroyed. And one of the women who had been in Satan's service for 17 years and had actually become what is called a bride of Satan agreed with Satan that she would kill me, but not. She wasn't planning on doing this physically. She was planning on doing it through the use of
physically,
demon spirits.
Physically kill you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And as a result of that, of her sending a very powerful demons to attack me, I became physically very ill, ended up in the hospital and nearly dying. But God in His divine mercy healed me, and I learned a big lesson about fighting against witchcraft through all of that. And so then I returned to work. Well, this woman's name, I'm only going to give her first name, Elaine. When I returned to work, she found out then that she had not been successful. In Satan's kingdom, when you agree to Satan that you're going to do something, that you're going to kill somebody, if you don't accomplish it, then your life is required.
Wow.
And so she knew that she would be killed. And she began looking for a way out. And that was when she made the decision to turn to Jesus Christ, but she didn't know how. And she became very, very ill because the demon spirits in her life, whom she had, of her own free will, invited to come into her life to give her power in the spirit realm, then rose up and tried to kill her. And that was through physical illness. She ended up coming to the hospital where I worked and ended up becoming my patient. To make a long story short, Elaine accepted Jesus Christ as her God and turned away from serving Satan. Well, that didn't get rid of all the demons that were in her life, and they had to be dealt with. And then I was face to face with the demon spirits that were in Elaine's life. And that's when I really, really began to learn about the spirit realm and what was going on as I battled with those demons. And all that story is told in my first book that you mentioned, He Came to Set the Captives Free. I have been in this work of bringing people out of witchcraft, hardcore Satanism, every form of bondage imaginable to Jesus Christ now for over 31 years.
Something I'd like to interject as this program section is coming to a close. This process, after as Elaine and you had began to get involved together, it was a long process.
That's right, because you see, before ever I met Elaine, I had to begin to learn how to fight witchcraft, or I would have gone under when I met her. I had to learn. And so I learned very quickly. You see, Lynn told me, and the Lord confirmed to me that there were many, many nurses in that hospital and also doctors who were Satanists. And I learned quickly that patients who had taken a turn for the worse, there were many times I would be standing on one side of the bedside doing everything I could medically to save the patient's life. And a nurse or a doctor, another doctor working with me, would be standing on the other side of the bed doing their incantations.
So this was a spiritual battle you were facing.
It was a spiritual battle, and there wasn't anything spoken out loud. I would be praying and pleading the blood of Jesus over this patient and asking the Lord to shield the patient at the same time as I was doing whatever work needed to be done medically. And
the enemy from the other side was in turn placing curses on the patient.
That is exactly right, and I came under a tremendous physical strain at the same time,
and
because,
a lot of hatred. There must have been a plot within the organization to get rid of you as fast as they could.
Yes, there certainly was, but I was sort of blithely unaware of all of that. It never occurred to me that those people would band together to fight me. Why, I don't know, except I imagine that Satan blinded my mind.
And they were all sweet people, lovely people on the surface, polite, kind.
Absolutely, and they all were going to Christian churches. In fact, some of them had asked me to go and attend their churches.
Amazing.
And they were, attending Christian churches. But what I started doing on the Lord's leading is every evening before I left the hospital, I walked through the entire hospital, through the intensive care units, through every ward. And of course, nobody paid any attention to that because I was all over the hospital anyway in my training. And I would very quietly, so that no one could overhear me, but out loud, I pled the blood of Jesus. I asked the Lord to shield every one of those patients. I laid claim to the blood of Jesus over those patients. In the name of Jesus, I took authority over and bound every demon spirit in that place and every spirit that would be brought into that place. And I asked the Lord to bind all satanic powers so that they could not function. And it was amazing. The death rate in the intensive care unit when I started doing that dropped by about 50% from
Praise
what it had
God.
Been.
That's great.
But the battle mounted. My prayer times, the Holy Spirit led me in my prayer times over and over and over again to pray the prayer that Moses did when he went against Anak, yes. The Canaanite king. Moses said, "Lord, rise up and let your enemies be scattered." And over I found myself praying those words. And also, at that time, the Lord very much laid on my heart that scripture in Ezekiel 20, chapter 22. And I think it might be wise to stop and read it here because it certainly is very key to what happened in my life. And it's Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." And you know, the Holy Spirit really laid it upon my heart to ask God to allow me to stand in the gap for that hospital. I was so concerned for the unsaved souls there. And I didn't know what all that meant. But I just asked the Lord if in any way he could use me, that I was willing to stand in the gap for that hospital, that the Lord would not have to pour out his wrath upon those people, that instead they would be turned to Jesus Christ.
Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.